Welcome to Business Innovators Radio, featuring industry influencers and trendsetters sharing proven strategies to help you build a better life right now.
Welcome to Positive News Now. I'm your host, Gail Nowak. Today, my guests are Lori O'Neill and Marissa De Silva, co-authors of Terry Luana De Silva's posthumous memoir, Graceful Woman Warrior, a story of mindfully living in the face of dying. Lori, Terry's aunt, is a lifelong writer and has devoted her 40-year career in social work to empower, enlighten, and engage others in the power of connection. Specializing in grief and loss, she co-developed the Caring Tree Family Grief Program, pioneered anti-bullying programming in the Dartmouth, Massachusetts public schools, and is a local activist and speaker. Marissa, Terry's daughter, is a 10-year-old girl writing songs, making art, having fun, and most importantly, eating candy. A fifth grade student at James M. Quinn School, she dreams of having her own horse someday, and in the meantime, plays with her favorite dog, Aura. Even though her mamai is not alive right now, Marissa knows mamai is busy creating beautiful sunsets, putting Marissa's favorite songs on the radio, and visiting Marissa by sending her a deer or two. Welcome, Marissa and Lori.
Thank you, Gail. We're very excited to be here.
Hi.
Hi. I'm so excited to have both of you here today. So I just want to say that Graceful Woman Warrior, what a beautiful collaboration and beautiful way to honor Terry and Lori. I was hoping that you could start by sharing what the phrase Graceful Woman Warrior means to you and your family, and then share a bit more about how Terry's memoir came about and evolved.
Absolutely. So the story of the name is kind of a funny one, right, Marissa? So Marissa's mom was originally named Luana Mountain Born Robinson by my sister Jeannie and her husband Spider. And they were hippies and artists up in Canada, which hence the Luana Mountain Born name. But when Terry was 12, my sister was a really famous dancer and choreographer. She had her own dance company in Nova Scotia. And when she was 12, they moved to Vancouver because they closed it. And Luana said, Mom, I want to change my name. Nobody knows the name Luana. And Jeannie's like, well, all right, what do you want to change it to? And she said, Terry. So she changed her name to Terry and they moved to Vancouver. But when Terry's mom, my sister, actually got cancer, biliary duct cancer, and Terry went to help take care of her. And after she passed, Terry was diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer a year and a half later. So she re-embraced the name Luana, and she decided to start a blog about her breast cancer journey. And the title of the blog is Graceful Woman Warrior. And I'd love to read you what she sent us all an email. And she said, the name of the blog is Graceful Woman Warrior in honor of my mom and the name she gave me, Luana. Luana means Graceful Woman Warrior. And it just happens to apply so perfectly to my breast cancer battle. My goal is to share all the love I receive with the rest of the world through my actions and my words. If my blog puts a smile on someone's face or gives somebody something new to think about or offers a reminder about the lessons we all so easily forget in the daily madness, then I feel I'm working towards my goal. So that's the genesis of the name. And the blog blew up, Gail. I mean, it was all over the world, thousands of followers, because she just had this way, Terry, of sharing her story in a way that helped us all to understand how to live mindfully and fully each day, because that's all we're given is that one day. And then right before Terry died, she actually asked me to publish her blog, and I promised her I would. So two years actually to the day that she passed, I went down to P-Town, where we're from, Provincetown, Mass, and started to try to pull together 3 years of blog posts and comments into one manuscript, which was quite the challenge, to say the least. But it was also very healing for me to do that. And along the way, I actually kept the blog going because it was a real healing part of my grief journey. And then Marissa, actually, you know, she was grieving at the same time for her mom. And I invited her if she would like to write. And she did. She loved to write. So she started to write letters to her mom. And then I said, you want me to put them in the blog? And she said, yep. And then, yeah, right, honey? And then it was like, I said, Marissa, do you want to be part of the book? And what did you say?
of course I want to be famous.
Absolutely. So we decided to put her letters to her mom as the coda to the book. So she's the co-author of her mom's story, which makes it so beautiful, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Marissa, what does it mean to you to be able to help share your mom's story?
It's taught me to live life to the fullest and also to embrace the resilience that she had. And I think it also really helps other people too. If other people lost their mom mm-hmm. or any parent or a part of their family.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. And I know that the book has expanded in the sense of you're out and you're talking about the book and you're meeting people and you're doing talks and having conversations. So can you both talk a little bit about how that's evolved since the book's been published?
I'm telling you, Gail, it has been such an incredible journey. I never imagined this, but you know what I say to Marissa all the time? What do I say? Mamai knew, right? She knew what she was doing when she asked me to publish it, because she knew it would help me and heal my journey, my grief. And I think she also knew that I would invite Marissa along to do it with me. So mm-hmm. My sister, Dori Rubico, actually wrote a song for Terry. It was called Hymn for Terry when she passed. And the chorus says, "We'll find our way. We have to find our way without you." And this book is literally how we've done that. It certainly has brought us to places we never imagined. So Marissa, talk a little bit about our dream book tour, Gail. Now that was Marissa's invention. So tell her where you wanted to take the book.
So first we wanted to take it to my fourth grade classroom.
Yes. So that was last year, Gail.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And tell her how that went.
So we talked about what the how to publish the book mm-hmm. and how we made the cover and stuff like
that. Yeah, and editing, all those kind of things that are aligned with curriculum, right? And the
mm-hmm. right.
Yeah. But then we got to the what? The part of the book that told
the story.
The story of her mom. And then what happened with the kids when we talked about how that your mom had died?
The floodgates opened.
She says the floodgates opened. Tell Gail what that means.
It means that all the kids started, all the peeps.
Yeah.
All your peeps, right?
All the kids started raising their hands and trying to share the ones that they had lost.
Mm-hmm. The floodgates opened because, mm-hmm. you know, talking about our loved ones and talking about death and dying is such a taboo subject in our society, and yet it is the key to healing. When we share our stories, that's how we heal. That's the place in our hearts where grief and resilience live together. When we allow ourselves to be open and share it, and other people share their own. Those kids all raised their hands, and it was beautiful. I mean, and that's kind of why I did what I did as a career in social work. I specialized in grief and loss because I was 8 when my dad died. Mm. And I wasn't allowed to say goodbye. I wasn't allowed to go to the funeral or talk about it. And it just locked down my grief in so many ways. So I was committed to making sure that kids especially were not left behind in their grief. And Marissa is, you know, the perfect example of that because this journey has definitely helped her to heal and manage, you know, the loss of her mom, which is a big thing. And it's led to us to many other gifts besides. So the Dream Book Tour, let's go back. So we started in fourth grade. We did Dartmouth, which is where I live in Dartmouth, Mass, was the book launch. Mm-hmm. But then where did you want to go?
To Canada.
Canada, because they used to live in Canada as
right.
we did. And we did go to Canada and had a book signing there and donated a book to the library there. But the big place you really wanted to go was where?
Connecticut
and
New York.
So Connecticut, because why was Connecticut important?
Because Connecticut is my heart home, and a heart home is basically when you have the most memories there, and you just can't let go of that one place that you love.
Yeah, and that's where her mom died, and that's where she spent the most time with her mom. So Connecticut is her heart home, and we did a lot talk at her library. And Gail, her kindergarten, first, and second grade teachers all showed up in their own way. One couldn't come, so she left her present at the front desk. And it was just so special, and some of her old classmates came. But New York was the big one. And why was New York the big one, sweetie?
Because New York is where I was born, mm-hmm. and it was my mom's favorite place to be.
In the whole wide world. What did we do in New York for Mamai to remember her?
We made a bench for her.
Yeah, in Astoria Park, which was her favorite place overlooking the river. So we finally got to New York, Gail, this fall. Terry's alma mater, the Silberman School of Social Work at Hunter College, hosted us, which was such a magical gift.
Wow.
Very expensive. I self-published, so... You know, it's not an easy journey financially to get to all these places, but we've been just, the doors have opened, and I think it's because of our story and Terry and who she was and how her story has helped to heal so many people and help them to look at adversity in a very different way, that each day is given to us and we all have, you know, as she called them, crosses to bear, but it's how you face those crosses and embrace those crosses and you know, figure out your path along the way that makes the difference. And Terry really taught us that, didn't she, honey? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was our dream book tour. The other thing though, Marissa, how about the other gifts from Mamai that you've gotten through this journey? What about Empower Her? Can you tell Gail about Empower Her? Actually, Gail, I think that might be in your area. Tell her about Empower Her.
Yeah, I've heard of Empower Her.
Yeah.
How was that experience?
As you might have known, Empower Her is a group of girls that lost their moms, and we do fun activities together, like the beach bash, mm-hmm. and yoga, and acting workshop.
Yeah, so she'll read something later from her acting workshop, which was so cool. But what it was created by, remember, what was her name? What is her name?
Kara Belvin.
And why did Kara start this group?
I mean, Belvin.
Kara Belvin. Why did she start this group?
Because
when she was nine, what happened to her?
Because when she was nine, her mom died
and of breast cancer. Mm-hmm.
And she had no one to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And she just felt really bad. And she wanted other people to kind of be with her in the same spot that she was.
Mm-hmm. And actually, it was Mother's Day, Gail, that she started. There was a few girls in her community in Scituate. And Mother's Day is the hardest day of the year. One that she really, she decided to invite those girls to come to a Mother's Day retreat. And that was 5 years ago. And now we went to the Mother's Day retreat last year, Gail. Guess how many girls were there? Tell her how many girls were there. Like over
200.
It was almost 200.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, she's expanding now. It's the North Shore and the South Shore of Massachusetts, but she's expanded to Connecticut, which is up and running. New York is in the process of opening and starting their first, you know, model for girls. And now she's out in LA also. One of the young girls who's now a young woman that started in Empower Her moved to LA and she's starting a branch out there. It's amazing the support and love that this group has provided. It's changed our lives, right, Marissa?
Mm-hmm.
It really has. Yeah.
That's so beautiful. And I love that you're talking about the power of story to connect you with other people and to help them open up and trust and express themselves. And I also love that there's just so much grace in this whole experience. I mean, this is a major theme in Terry's journey, but also in each of your journeys. So how did you each find your way to peace and hope and even purpose from this experience and from losing Terry?
Well, you know, again, I think that grief and loss is a universal human condition. We all are in this together, but we forget that, right? Mm-hmm. And so the power of sharing our stories has led to such profound healing and grace in my life and in Marissa's life. If you could see her, this girl, I mean, there is actually video on our website. We made a reel when we were in New York.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
And,
yeah.
Oh, I mean, you can see it, right, Gail? When you look at Marissa and you see how she is just up there sharing her story and how much strength that gives her. Mm-hmm. And by meeting these people and connecting with them and their stories become part of ours, it just really opens the door to healing and resilience and grace. And that's what Terry knew. She knew that. And I think, you know, she was a natural storyteller. Her parents were both writers. They were very famous science fiction writers, actually. My sister Jeannie and her husband Spider, they won like the Hugo and the Nebula Award in the science fiction community for their Star Dance books. So it was in our family. Like, we're all kind of performers, you know. All my sisters like are really famous, you know, except for me. I didn't get that gene. So I always felt like I didn't really get into the performing artist. And my girlfriend said to me, Lori,
you're just starting. You're just starting a little later. That's all.
Right. And she also said, but Lori, you're an artist of humanity. You've been doing this all along with your social work career. It's all about the storytelling. Right. And so, you know, I wrote a memoir like 20 years ago, actually, about a loss with my girlfriends and never published it. And it was this loss that Terry gave me the strength to actually step forward and publish her story. And now I'm an author, and now I know I can do it, you know, and now I hope to do it again. And so does Marissa, you know?
And Marissa, you're so creative. I mean, you love to sing, you love to write, you love to make art. And clearly that's something that is a big part of your family and your ancestors and everything. So what creative aspects of this project have been the most memorable for you? Like, what's been the most fun and brought you the most joy?
Well, for the creative aspects, songwriting and art have been the most memorable because art, well, it's on the back of the book.
She drew a beautiful picture, Gail. What was it of?
It was of me, my dad, and my mom on a picnic blanket watching the sunset in the mountains.
Mm. Absolutely gorgeous. So we put that on that originally was going to be the cover of the book, but then we decided we wanted Mamaya and Marissa right on the cover. And then we put the picture on the back. So that artwork, but what about the songwriting too? Tell her about that.
I wrote a song for my mom, and it's called Never Lose Me. Mm. I've sang it 3 times before at book signings and book launches.
Yeah, the New York one was a really big one because that was a pretty big audience. Actually, the audience for our book launch was like almost 200 people. That was the biggest one. That's the first time you sang. And she, again, the grace just channels right through her. And I just firmly believe it's her mom, you know, within her heart and carrying her mom with her and through her artwork and her creativity and her writing. I made her a book, her mom and her love story, you know, with all the pictures of her and her mom and her journey, and my sister too, her Nana Canada. She used to call my sister Nana Canada. And she would bring that book to school, Gail, and she would share it with the class. And it was her way of bringing her mom with her. And I can remember when I was little and my dad died and going back to school, it was horrible. It was like I was a leper. Nobody wanted to talk to me. They thought it was contagious.
Yeah.
You know, and so the gift of being able to bring her mom with her through this story and through sharing her story, as Aunt Marissa says, around the world, it's really amazing, you know. Then there's a funny story, Gail, about her teacher in fourth grade. She showed our book trailer. Tell them what happened after that.
So all these people were crowding around
me. The kids in her class. Yeah.
And then this boy named Jaden.
Yeah.
He wanted to be my bodyguard.
Yeah. He comes home, she says, Auntie, I'm famous. I said, what do you mean you're famous? And she said, my teacher shared our trailer and all the kids. I was like, they were all around me. I said, oh my goodness, Marissa. And what a beautiful thing to come up.
Oh my gosh.
Such a difficult loss, right? So those are the fabulous, memorable ones, as well as the fun. And the fun is the travel that we've done, right, sweetie?
Yes. You sounds like you've gone to all kinds of really cool places.
Yeah. Her mom loved to travel. And Marissa was everywhere with her. She was like, you know, there's a picture I have of Terry with her suitcase. And Marissa was in his car seat on top of the suitcase in New York going down the street. And she's the best travel companion ever. So her and I love to travel. Absolutely. And she had our story.
Mm-hmm. Marissa, what's your dream location? Where would you like to go next?
Probably next Ohio.
Yeah.
Because there is, I love Ohio. It's where I went to preschool. Mm-hmm. It's where I had a friend named Eleanor and,
And there's a really special school that Terry always found the best schools from Mercer, those experiential, really cool Montessori based. And it was called Overfield, rather. Overfield. So they're ready to invite us back. It was on the Dream Book Tour. It's the only place we haven't made it to yet. But Auntie promised, and we'll get there eventually. So that's kind of our hopeful next stop for our book tour, to bring it to full circle, is Ohio. So that's the next place, right, sweetie? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excellent. Lori, I know, you've been talking about the blog and the book sort of as starting as this way to cope and heal. And obviously it's become so much more. I mean, let's face it. I think you've started a movement, and I'd love to hear your take on the connection between creative expression, healing, and living life fully.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, again, I've been writing since I was little. You know, I remember after my dad died, I wrote this story in sixth grade called Loneliness, and I won a prize for it. It was like the biggest thing in my life because it was an opportunity to share my story, but it took a lot of courage, right? You know, to do that. And I think that the creative arts give us that space to really channel our angst, whether it be grief, whether it be anger, whether it be, you know, sadness, whether it's writing or performing, all of those places give us that space to share our experiences. And then when you do it, it's just like this charge in your heart that just sends you to places you never imagined. Like, I never imagined, Marissa, that you and I would be on these podcasts. We're going to be on a TV show, actually, in January. It's called Books Around the World through the Cape Cod Writers Center. So they're going to have Marissa and I on their TV show. Who knew, you know, that by putting pen to paper, that this experience would open this up for us, Marissa, right? Like, who knew? It's amazing. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. But the key, and Terry, Mummy taught us this, is you have to walk through the door, right, Gail? I mean, these opportunities come to many of us, but it requires a lot of work and a lot of strength and courage to take that, to walk through that door. Mm-hmm. Right, Marissa?
Mm-hmm.
And you, I mean, she does it so gracefully, Gail. It blows me away. My sister Jeannie called Marissa a bodhisattva. My sister was also a Buddhist monk, amongst all those other things she did. And that's an enlightened being that comes to teach us things. And Marissa's like a wise soul. She's been that way since she was little. And she's taught me so much. And that was one of the things that Terry always said to, and my sister, that our children and our journeys are our biggest lessons. It's just, are we willing to walk through the door and learn those lessons and embrace those lessons and then share those lessons with each other so that we can all heal together so that we're not alone, you know? And I think that one of the things that's happened for me since the book is I started a workshop called Grace Lessons, a bold blueprint for mindfully navigating the sacred cycles of life, loss, and living beyond. And it's actually based on the book. I broke the book into three parts. I was trying to figure out how to organize it, and I used the Serenity Prayer because that totally fit Terry's journey and all of our journeys. You know, we have to have the courage to accept the things we can't change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So I used that model in a workshop to help people look at their grief stories and lean into their loss stories and then look at their new normal and how their new self can move forward. And then finally, capturing all the wisdom of our shared stories and how to help you to move forward with that. So that's exciting. And then I've done some workshops locally. I did one at the Head Start with all the teachers. And what was the coolest thing was you do it's called a lost timeline as part of the experiential exercise in my workshop. And it invites you to look at your losses over time because they are cumulative. And each one impacts the next. And by taking a look at those lost stories and lost timelines, it allows you to really hold your grief story so it can't hold you anymore. And this one woman shared a story about her sister. And it was so powerful. And my sister-in-law actually works with her. And she told my sister-in-law later, she had not told that story, Gail, in over 20 years.
Oh my gosh.
She felt so relieved, like this weight had been lifted off of her shoulders. And that's the beauty and the essence of what I hope to bring to people, and what Terry brought to all of us, and what Marissa brings by sharing her story, you know, with kids as well, who they give them permission to share their own story.
Ah, that's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Lori, so what's the most important question people should ask themselves when it comes to supporting someone either experience illness or they're going through a loss of a loved one? I think for, you know, it's a different experience for the person who's going through it. But then if you're a family member or a friend, it's also kind of like you want to help, but you don't always know what to say. You don't always know what to do. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for people who truly in their hearts want to help, but they just don't know. And they're a little afraid, right? Like they don't know.
It's such a taboo illness, cancer, you know, death, all very taboo subjects, but guess what? We're all in this together.
Right.
And what I want to say to people is what you need to ask yourself is how can I show up for that person? Because the key is showing up. Now that's going to look differently for everybody. For me, I literally showed up, you know, at Terry's side, at my sister's side, and walked beside them in the house, you know, in any way. I mean, they live far away from me, but you know, that at the, in those points in life, it doesn't matter. I mean, I would fly to Vancouver, you know, and take the boat to the island that my sister lived on because I needed to be there with her to help her. But for other people, showing up literally in person doesn't always work, but there's so many other ways and so many other ways people showed up for Terry and Jeannie. Sending cards, just writing a letter, just calling, picking up the phone. How you doing? What's happening? You know, what, tell me about your story. Tell me about how you're feeling today. One of her friends just had bread delivered every week to the house, right? Her next door neighbor would drop off a meal. Her next door neighbor would knock on the door and say, can I put Marissa on the bus this morning? Mm. You know, offer to babysit, offer to sit next to them when they're in treatment, offer to drive them to an appointment. Again, the key is just to show up and do something, you know, and even with grief, it's the same thing because after somebody dies, it's like they're forgotten, but that's not the case. Grief is a lifelong journey. We'll always grieve the people that we love. And the key is it's not about saying goodbye. It's about finding new and enduring ways to stay connected to that loved one. You know, like Marissa and I, you know, my son actually for Christmas this year gave me a new ornament for the tree. And it's a picture of me and Marissa and Terry in an ornament. And it just made me cry. It was beautiful, you know.
It was beautiful.
And Marissa, tell her what you wore to the Christmas pageant yesterday at church. She was the narrator, plus she had a singing solo. What did you wear?
My mom's dress and going in, I wore my mom's jacket. I wore my mom's
it's a scarf that you tied in. She wears it as a belt, actually. So these are all ways to keep our loved ones with us. And it's important to be able to share that with each other and to ask each other, you know, and to bring up the people who, like when we had our Christmas dinner this weekend, my son is in Florida, so we had an early Christmas with him. And at the toast, you know, we remembered my mother-in-law who had passed on that day. It was actually her birthday that day. And we, all the people that we loved. So it's okay to bring it up. And it's not only okay, it's healing to allow us all to talk about it with each other. So show up, you know, that's my advice.
That's great advice. It's great advice. So what's next for the two of you?
Oh my goodness. Marissa, what do you think you're going to do next?
So next I want to write more songs because, I already wrote like dozens of, well, not dozens, but like a lot of songs, and all of them have meanings. If I had to give away my dog.
Yes.
If I had to
move. Remember the moving one? Yeah.
If I had to say goodbye to a friend. Mm. So there's all like meanings, and it's a way of dealing with grief. So, as life goes on, I'm going to write more songs. And I'm also, me and Auntie Lori are working on me writing my own book.
Yeah, that's on, we had talked about trying to do that. last summer, but we never found the time. You have to get a good chunk of time, right, Gail, to sit and read.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's our next project together that we're hoping to do. And what kind of book is it? It's for what, honey?
For a children's book on how to deal with grief and loss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So kind of a graceful woman warrior for kids. That's what we're thinking. Mm-hmm. And she's an illustrator. My gosh, she's such a great artist, Gail. So she can do that as well, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's definitely on our list of things to do.
Well, it sounds like you are super busy, but also, you know, not just busy for the sake of being busy, but really doing some important, meaningful work and having fun in the process. And Marissa, I'm sure that you miss your mom and everything, but wow, what an amazing opportunity to do these things at such a young age. I mean, I think it's just so beautiful. It's so beautiful that
it's really amazing what she's done.
Yeah, what you're doing and how you're impacting people in such a positive way. Mm-hmm. So before we wrap up, is there anything that people should know that we haven't yet covered?
Well, Marissa was thinking she might like to share her monologue from Empower Her that she wrote. Would that be okay?
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Go ahead, Marissa. So they gave them, I think it was 5 prompts, and you had to write something for each prompt. So here you go. Go ahead, sweetie.
I have a secret. I am a real author. The book I wrote is called Graceful Woman Warrior. It is about my mom and how my family went through this breast cancer journey. I'm grateful for Empower Her. I first realized it when Auntie Lori told me she put my blogs in the book. I'm proud of myself. Something I learned was that I can inspire others through my writing. It makes me feel open to heaven and the earth. Now that I've said that, I feel that I've inspired more people and chose to be happy.
And that's the name of the book, Choose Happy, that they gave in the journal. Not amazing, Gail?
Beautiful. Beautiful. Oh. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I share one thing from her mom that I just love? It's in the back of the book.
Yes, please do.
It's called Terry's Big Idea. So her mom, it was in her second year of treatment with chemo. It wasn't really working real well. And she decided to take a spiritual pilgrimage. Where'd she go, Marissa?
She went to Europe.
She went to Europe by herself in the middle of chemo looking for answers. And I gave her a travel journal because we love to write. And I found this in her travel journal. Why not think big, dream big? People may not get you, but the dreamers are the ones who change the world. When you honor yourself, everyone benefits. Better to be true to yourself. Be different. Be unique. Honor your truth. So dance, love, pray, travel, meditate, learn, grow. Be inspired and inspire others. Be good to yourself and others. Find the beauty in life. Nurture your soul. The time has come. Terry Luana De Silva. And I always cry, don't I? Marissa, whenever I read that.
Emotional woman.
Emotional woman. That's what she calls me. I always tell her, those tears are really healthy, honey. They really
need to heal. Definitely.
Yeah. She really taught us how to live fully and mindfully.
So wise, too. So wise.
Yeah. So wise.
So how can our listeners find out more about both of you, the book, the workshops, and all your future work that's going to come out, I'm sure.
Yeah, please go to our website. It's gracefulwomanwarrior.com, and please subscribe. There's usually a pop-up that comes up, and you can receive all the newest blog posts and events coming up. Or you can email me at gracefulwomanwarrior@gmail.com if you're interested in Marissa and I coming to share our story with you. We would love to share our story. And any and all places, right, love?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's been such a treat to talk to both of you today.
It's been such a gift for us. Thanks, Gail.
Thank you.
Until next time, remember, be your best story and share your positive news now.
Thanks for listening to Business Innovators Radio.
To hear all episodes featuring leading industry influencers and trendsetters, visit us online at businessinnovatorsradio.com today.